A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to, this is 10 minutes before, actually we start our 9 minutes now, 57 minutes past, 51 minutes past the hour of 7. It's about 10 minutes, 9 minutes before we start normally unpacking the day, but much earlier because my colleague, you know, have something to attend to. So, good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Thanks, it's a pleasure having you this morning, and. Our time now, it's about 51 minutes past the hour of 7. So as I said, we normally start at 8 o'clock, and we're just a bit earlier than how many minutes? 8 minutes. Okay. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and numbers making headlines. So we kept it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful discussion or conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So good morning to you and welcome to unpacking the day. We're much a bit earlier today, 10 minutes earlier. We're just taking on some minutes from early morning scoop. So good morning and welcome. So as usual, today is, what is the date? Today is the 12th of the 9th, 12th of September. The year is 2025. So let's quickly look at, you know, what happened on this day in Africa. Let's see. Let's start with our first segment of what happened on this day in Africa. So, yeah. So on the 12th of September, that is in Zimbabwe, 1923, the Southern Rhodesia, but that is known as Southern Rhodesia, formally annexed as a self-governing colony, and today is Zimbabwe. After a 1922 referendum, the territory was annexed to the British Crown and became the colony of Southern Rhodesia on the 12th of September 1923. So, and in South Africa, today, the anti-apartheid leader and the founder of the Black Consciousness Movement, Steve Biko, died in police custody on the 12th of September in 1977. His death galvanized international outrage and remain one of the landmark moments of the struggle against apartheid. So, and in Democratic Republic of the Congo, in 1998, a peace talk aimed at ending the war in the Democratic Republic of the Congo failed on September the 12th, on September the 12th in 1998. So now leading to the continuation of the conflict to date. So, and in Nigeria, on the 12th of September, 2014, a guest house within the synagogue church of All Nation, All Nation, that synagogue church called All Nations, within the synagogue All Nation complex collapsed, killing over 100 people. Many of them actually were foreign visitors. So the disaster sparked a very lengthy investigation and also some legal proceedings as well. So, yeah. So basically, those are some of the significant events that we have that recorded on this day in Africa. So, very good morning. And if you're just joining us, we have started earlier. So this is unpacking the day. So, and our thought for the day, the 12th of September, it's a Friday morning. Friday is always, you know, there's always that good mood. When you're looking maybe forward to the weekend, automatically the body adjusts to, oh, I'm going to go for, it's a weekend, and it's getting to a different mood. So our thought for the day, it's only a dead man who has everybody on his side. So it is only a dead man who has everybody on his side. So, you know, often people don't appreciate someone fully until they are gone. You know, the proverb warns that during one's life, one may lack full recognition, understanding, or support. Only after dying does one often receive that universal acclaim or sympathy. So it can also critique human nature, how people may abandon someone in life through criticism, betrayal, or jealousy. But after death, many will later praise or align themselves with the deceased, and sometimes out of social expectation, or rather than a genuine loyalty. So in essence, the proverb suggests that we should live in a such a way that we don't need death to be remembered. You know, we don't need death to be remembered well, that our relationship, our integrity, our action during life should earn us respect and loyalty before we are even gone. So we don't need to die to be remembered well. So let our relationship, our integrity, and our action during while we are alive earn us respect and loyalty before we are gone. That is the essence of the proverb, which is saying, you know, it's only a dead man or a dead woman who has everybody on his side. So make sure that, you know, the decision you made today and choices you made in the course of the day, you know, earn you respect and loyalty, you know, not when people start praising you when you're gone. All right. So good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iima tina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timeleha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. You will be smiling if you advertise your business with Eagle FM. So, if you have an event or a function or a workshop, a business meetings or celebrations, and you know you want to expose your event or your meeting in real time, in a live streaming or broadcasting, well, contact our office, 083-083-288-288-400. So, and today is a Friday, and you know, if you're looking for those latest news on business or economics, so please, as I said, get yourself a copy. Get yourself a free copy, a digital free copy of The Villager. You know, you don't do much. Or what you need to do, you just simply send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. So, and make sure that you save that number because we don't want to be your spam. Eh? Okay? So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe to get your copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and if you want to stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, do like what I do. I'm an on-go kind of person. So download the Eagle FM mobile app. So you will be connected wherever you are and be able to listen to Eagle FM. So there are a lot of features on app, and do please also, you know, engage us. Please do follow us and share. Yeah? Do follow and do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social media platforms. We are on X. We are on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn. We are on Instagram, on Facebook, and Telegram and WhatsApp. So make sure that you follow us, you share, and also you leave a comment or a like. So we want to engage you. So make sure that also you leave some comment. Please do engage with us. So good morning. If you're just joining us, you probably think, whoa, yeah, we have started a little bit 10 minutes earlier. So welcome. If you miss the word, the thought of the word, I mean the thought of the day, and on this day in history, we went through that already. So yeah, so welcome. So what we can expect today in our story today and in our show today is that, so Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry at at the Namibia China Fair for Investment and Trade last week in Windhoek, you know, says that we can't just dig things, you know, out of the ground forever and hope, you know, to get rich. So that's the story that make headlines in our in the Villager this morning. So we're going to look at that. Yesterday there was a report that we couldn't go in. The report warns Africa to avoid a new colonialism in green deals. So we're going to also look at that as well. And many more other stories that we may find in our newspaper this morning in The Villager. So welcome. And we will come back in a short while. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So good morning, it's a Friday morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. It is your host Mike Osovelli coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, there was a big event in Windhoek last week, the Namibia-China Fair for Investment and Trade. And as usual, a lot of smiling faces, firm handshakings, and, well, you know it, the big speeches. Now, the Villages newspaper is running an article today covering last week's event, covering this event, with the headline, Wealth Creation Cannot Come from Resource Extraction Solely. You know, that's from a quote from the NCCI. Now, we all know we can't just dig things. You know, we can't just dig things out of the ground forever and hope, you know, to get rich. So, but my job here is not to read you the headlines, okay? It's not to read you the headlines. It's to ask, what is the real story behind the story? So what was being said between the lines, okay? That's what we're looking for. So what is the real story behind the stories? And what was said, what has been said between the lines? That's what we do here on Unpacking the Day. So let's unpack this story. So now, okay, let's start with our side, okay? Now, when I mean our side, I mean the Namibia Chamber of Commerce. So the NCCI, stood up and said, Namibia need to build its wealth through industrialization, innovation, and trade. So he said, no country, and this is now the head of the Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So he stood up and said, well, Namibia need to build its wealth through industrialization, innovation, and trade. He said, no country can get rich just by selling its raw materials. He's 100% correct. Now, think of it like this. Imagine you own a farm with the best cattle in the world, and you are going to get. Are you going to get rich by just selling the live cows to your neighbor? Maybe you're selling it to your neighbor too. Are you going to get rich by selling the live cows to your neighbor? So the answer is definitely no. Now, the real money is actually in building a butchery, making biltong, processing the leather, and maybe opening a steakhouse. So that is industrialization, and that is value addition, and that's the head of the NCCI talking about. Now, this is where I want us to dish. As I said, we have to read between the lines. But here's my first big question. And I want you to think about this, okay? Now, we have been an independent nation for 34 years. This is 34 or 35? 34 years, yeah, because it was in March. So 34 years. Now, my question is, why do we still need to remind ourselves of this basic economic principle whenever it comes to a big investment conferences, we have to remind ourselves of these basic economic principles. Is this just a speech we give to make ourselves feel good, maybe? Or is there a real plan? Now, let me explain. The NCCI chief said, building an economy is like creating a masterpiece, needing many artists. So he gave that image. I like that because I always, give those scenarios as well. So, like needing many artists. So, it's a nice image, As I said, I like that it's a nice image. But are we giving our local... Now, when we talk about many artists, needing many artists, it's like now, are we giving our local... Let me use his image. Are we giving now local artists? Now, those local artists are our entrepreneurs, our technicians, our graduate. Are we giving them the right, paint brushes and the right canvas that you use on the computer to, are we giving them the right tools? That's a question. Or are we just telling them, watch the international master's artist, okay? Watch the international master artist, coming in and paint the picture for us. So as we speak, are we giving them that tools that they need to paint this, to make this beautiful picture? So he also said, Namibia can gain from China's technology and experience. And it's true, absolutely. So, but now I'm focusing more on the word gain. But what does that gain look like in reality? In reality, what does that gain look like? Does it mean a Namibian engineer learn how to design and build a solar panel factory? Now, there's a difference. Does it mean a Namibian engineer learn how to design and build a solar panel factory? Or does it mean he just learns how to install the panel that were made in China? Will we have engineers that would build a solar panel rather than actually just install a panel that were already made in China? So when you're now taking, he also gained, Namibia said, Namibia can gain from China's technology and experience. What does that gain look like in reality? So because there is a massive difference. So one is partnership. So where your engineers learn how to design and build a solar panel factory. So that is partnership. And the other is just being a customer or at best a laborer, So there's massive, there is massive difference. So, and then when we said Namibia can gain from China's technology, so how do we design how we actually gain from the Chinese? Earlier on, that's what I said. Well, do we just speak because to make us really... And why do we go on saying the same thing over and over? So what we need to ask, so when we sign these deals... Are we signing up for a real transfer of skills and technology, or are we just signing away our resources for some jobs or a bit of cash? So it is a critical question because we know this from many resources that we have, from many deals that we have from other resources of this country. So when we sign out these deals, can we testify at this point in time how many, because there have been deals that Namibia didn't get independent 2 years ago or 20 years ago, It's about 34 years ago. At this point in time, we have made a lot of deals before today. So how many skills has been transferred? How many real transfer of skill have taken place? How many technology has been transferred? So because this is like emergency now, you know, to say we need when it's like a new thing. So we have so many deals. What happened? Where did we go wrong? That these by now, by 34 years, by now, we should have actually grown, you know, have grown the skills, have grown the technology from the deals that we have. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't start, but I'm just said, what happened and how do we learn from that? Maybe to do things better. What happened? First of all, we need to know. So, well, don't go anywhere. So we'll come back and we will flip the coin. We'll flip the coin. We'll look at what the Chinese ambassador had to say. Is it all weather friendship? He describes that. He said it's all weather friendship. Or is it there maybe a storm brewing that we aren't seeing? So stay with us on Unpacking the Day.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana nongeshifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandito ma yoe, yongeshifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara hita tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Now, so welcome back. You are with me, Mike Oshavelli. And before the break, we were talking about the NCCI's call for Namibia to move beyond just selling its raw materials. Now, let's look at the other side, okay? The other side of this handshake, okay? The Chinese ambassador to Namibia also spoke. He painted a very positive picture. He talked about an all-weather friendship. Read through the articles. So all-weather friendship, how Chinese companies have created tens of thousands of local jobs in mining and energy and building our roads and ports. And I think we can't deny that. So we definitely can't deny it. We see the roads. We see the new terminal at the Wavish Bay port, largely built with Chinese funding and expertise. So, yeah, that is progress. That's progress you can touch and you can see, as our Deputy Prime Minister said, that we need to start talking. So we need now to see action that is, you know, can bring things that we can smell, we can touch, we can see. So, yeah, that we can see and touch. So, now let's unpack these words carefully. Well, let's unpack this because that's my job to do here. So he said, okay, and this is very interesting. He said Chinese investment has created tens and I'm quoting, quote unquote, tens of thousands of local jobs. Okay. My question is, now, what kind of jobs? Are these permanent, higher skills job? So are these permanent and these higher skills jobs? Are Namibians in management So when we talk about they, tens of thousands created tens, are Namibians in management position? Are Namibians making key decisions? So in these institutions, in these, industries, or are the majority of these jobs temporarily? So low-skill labor-intensive jobs that disappear once the construction project is finished. So there is a big difference. You know, we need to see the data, not just the headline number. So we need to see the data. So how many people do we have that have actually benefited, that have benefited from this, that has been trained in permanent, in higher skilled job, that are now in management positions, that are making key decisions in these industries? Or we just have people that are labor, low-skill labor intensive, intensive jobs. So that at the end of the construction, the road construction project, once it's finished, you disappear. The job disappears as well. So is that what we're talking about here? So when we tell you we have created, tens of thousands of local jobs. Tens of thousands of local jobs. That's what is in the article. Now, then in the article, there's something very interesting. He said his office, he said his office helped Chinese enterprises address, and quoting, practical issues in compliance, unquote. Practical issues in compliance. Now, that is a diplomatic way of saying something. A very diplomatic way of something. Does it mean there have been problems with some company not following our laws, our labor laws, our environmental laws? It's like a subtle admission. Admission, perhaps, that the picture isn't always perfect. So we have, and we have heard the stories on the ground. We can talk about the story of who is there. We can talk about some story in Kavango's, Kavango Basins, talking about that. So I think this is a politician's way of saying, yes, we know there are issues and we are trying to fix them. I think that's, as I said, it's a politician way to say, well, we know there are issues, but we are trying to fix them. So he also talked about encouraging Chinese companies to contribute to communities through philanthropy and skills training. And this is good. This is absolutely good. Okay? So, but also, is it, when you're looking at that, is that part, is it a core part of their business model? Is this a core part of the Chinese business models or Chinese companies' business model? Or is it just a small side project to create a good PR? Maybe it's a small side project on the side just to create a good PR. Is it, building one classroom block enough to balance out the billions of dollars in resources leaving the country? Is that the case? So, and one thing that we should be very clear, China is pursuing its own national interest. They need our resources. Our uranium for their power plants, our lithium for the batteries, the batteries that in their electric cars and phones, this is no charity. It is no charity at all. It is business. And that's okay. It's okay. But we must be just as clear-eyed and focus on our national interest. As much as they focus on their own interest, on their national interest, we must also have our eyes popped out. Eh? Popped out, really focus on our national interest. That's all what we're talking about. It is business. Now, the ambassador said, our interests and growth are closely intertwined, unquote. Eh? So just make sure that you subscribe and you're able to read, you know, the article yourself. So he also said, our interests and growth are closely intertwined. Are they truly? Are they truly? Eh? Really? Or is it a relationship where one partner is growing much, much faster than the other? Are we really intertwined in terms of our interest and growth? In terms of growth, I think this is a partnership where one partner is growing much, much, much faster than the other one. So now let's, if you put the two speeches together, okay, one on one hand, Namibia is saying, we want to do more than just sell raw materials. On the other hand, China is saying, we are great partners, investing in your infrastructure and creating jobs. There's always a but there is a gap between the aspiration and the reality. So we aspire to be an industrialized nation. Remember, we only have about how many? 4 years. We should be semi? I need to read that 2030 again. Is it semi-industrialized or really just industrialized nations? So that was our aspiration. But the reality is that the bulk of our trade with China, for example, is still us sending them raw materials at this date, today, and them sending us finished good. So that's the difference. So we're still sending them raw materials and them sending us the finished good. Now, you want to bet? Check your cell phone. Your TV, the clothes you are wearing on, look at the label. Where was it made? Where was it made? This could be the cell phone. This could be the things that are coming from our country. So when we said we are intertwined, and I mean, as I said, someone really is growing faster than the other. So, and I said, to this date, we're still sending them raw material. There's not much of a difference. And them sending us actually finished goods. So the real debate, is not about whether we should partner with China. It's not about that. It's not about we should partner with China. No. In today's world, that is actually a foolish question. That's a foolish question. The debate is about the terms of the partnership. That's where the debate is, the terms of partnership. So, are we sitting at the negotiating table as equals? Are we demanding that for every mine that is opened, a processing plant must be built in Namibia? Are we insisting that a certain percentage of high-level engineering and management jobs must be held by a Namibian within 5 years with a clear training plan? Are we doing that? Or are we so desperate for an investment that we just sign on the dotted line? Happy to get a few hundred jobs and a new road while the real wealth is actually created thousands of kilometers away? So that's the question. The question is, the debate is about the terms of the partnership. So it's not about, should we partner with China? No, that, as I said, that's a foolish question in today's world. It's about the terms of partnership. So, and this is not anti-China point. This is not about point against China, or it is a pro-Namibian point. You can, yeah, let's say that. This is a pro-Namibian point. Any smart business person, any proud Namibian should be asking those tough questions. All right? So you were trying to knock on my door, please? If you want to come through now, you are most welcome. So, yes, that's where we are. That's a story that you find in making headline, making a front page for the Villager, just twisting it out a little bit for better for you, yeah, to create some debate on some aspect that are actually coming out of that discussion or those speeches that I found mentioned in the articles. So, what is your reaction? So, you may come through now, our telephone number, and your reaction and your contribution, you know, to some of the things that I proudly point out, and well, your own voice, your own view, your own perspective on that meeting. So, our telephone number, we coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. Our telephone number in Ondangwa is 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your views or your contribution.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, welcome back. Our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So we were just talking about, you know, the Namibia-China's partnership, actually. And the main thing, I think that what we can take away from this discussion, just in a summary or something, the song remained the same. So we have been talking about value addition and industrialization for decades. Now speeches are nice, but we need to see concrete action and policies with teeth, so that we see things happening. All right. So the Deputy Prime Minister said we need to see action. So it has been, we have talked enough. We said so much. Let's see the tangible action now being implemented. Now, the term partnership needs a close look. I think it needs a closer look. Now, a real partnership is one of mutual benefit and mutual respect. So we must ensure we are not the silent junior partner in our economic future. So we shouldn't be the junior partner in our own economic future. So the power dynamic is really, really, really critical. Okay? And we, the public, you know, need to be more demanding. So we need to be more demanding. When you hear about a mega deal for a new mine or oil discovery, don't just ask how many jobs. Ask what kind of jobs, for how long, and what skill will be left behind for our children. So because, you know, they just plant out of this and then they're gone. And nothing is left for your children behind. So those are the questions we should be asking. Not anymore just how many jobs, because we might be desperate and we just, how many jobs, how many, you know, we have a lot of people that need to be employed. So, yeah. So, that's what we, you know. So, you're trying to call, just come through, you know, 08333-66091, if you're trying to come through. You're welcome now to come through. All right.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm all right, too. Friday.
It's a Friday morning.
Yeah,
it's for most of people, actually.
Yeah.
For some of us, that's meant now, I'm coming from this work, now I'm going to go and work at home. So there's other work that is like waiting for you, you know?
I'm telling you, it's never finished, my friend.
I know, and I'm sorry, I hear it. Yeah.
I've got a partnership with China.
I'm not sure. Okay, go ahead. I don't know whether on air you are breaking up, but from how I'm hearing you, you are actually breaking up. Say that again. Come again. Are you speaking? Don't tell me this has started again. Mandume?
Yeah.
Are you speaking? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I need to call you back. Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you properly now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Maybe it's just a network issue, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, what I was saying is that what I see, yeah, Chinas are winning more than Namibians.
I always say, check your TV, check your cell phone, the clothes that you wear.
I think it's just a network issue. Okay, let me just call you back.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you.
No, I can hear you fine as well.
Oh, you can hear me, so.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, the thing is that I think what we need to do as a Namibian government.
Yeah.
We need to really to look what we sign up for.
Yeah.
Because since we sign this Chinese, they've been breaking, especially when it comes to our condition, where they are supposed to obey our law. They are really breaking the law. Either even when it comes to employment, the way they are treating the employee.
Mm.
When it comes to even our environment, the way they are really, if you remember the issue of iPhone, not iPhone, but it's what? Lithium.
Yeah.
I forget the company with its mining.
Because
it was no environment done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now, I don't know how they, if now they, because now, remember, this mine and everything, they are under the president. And now they are letting them to go without even environmental impact being done, assessment done.
Do you remember even the company that was mining already while they having the exploration license? You know?
Yeah, that's it.
So that one that you use, you know?
The thin one.
And for three years or something like that.
Just imagine.
And nobody noticed that this is happening? You know, so things like that.
Well, they are generally violating our law, and they are really, and then remember one thing, that once those things are, the extraction has been done, and like we are running out of the resource, these Chinese are just going to pack up, and they leave us with?
Nothing. With
a
only
lot of environment that to deal with.
Exactly, yeah.
Impact. And remember one thing, that even the money they are giving, when they are paying the salary they are paying to our people, when the ambassador, he was speaking, it's not really contributing to our economy. Because they are merely paying a small amount.
Mm.
Not like paying somebody who knows that this person in the next 50 years or 20 years, the person is going to have a lot of side effects when it comes to mind. Because remember one thing, that relaxation always is there.
Yeah.
And the skin disease. And now you are paying a little money when it comes to these people. And even the sometimes I even you find it, there's no medical aid.
Yeah.
In that visit. So it's, I think it's a hard time also for our government really to look up when it comes to labor. Out there, our people are being exploited to the Chinese. Talk about even you go to Chinatown now. How many of them they are even paying social security?
Yeah. Mm.
They are not paying. But here, some of us, our company, they are in the era with social security because just small misunderstanding. And now they will not let you go. But there are still people who are operating in Namibia without giving a social security to people, but they are still blind the eyes. Not to go there to interview.
Yeah. So now, one thing looking at, you know, industrialization was the core mission of Vision 2030, you know, and at this point in time,
we lost him. Maybe the credit or maybe network. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. And so we're looking at the story that making a headline, that making front page of the villages are looking at basically at it's the NCCI you know, in a meeting with Namibia China Fair for investment and what was the other word, investment and trade, so saying, you know, wealth creation cannot come from resource extraction only, you know. So there should be more that need to be done. So we can't just dig things out of the ground and forever and hope to get rich. So we need to do something. Actually, that's what, you know, the NICC is saying. So we look at certain aspect we focus on the speech of each of these big guns and see and highlight some challenges or highlight some opportunities or how we see how probably, you know, what in terms of when you talk about in terms of transfer of skills and knowledge and all that. So what does it mean? Is it just about low skill intensive kind of job, or we're talking about, you know, management more decision making positions in the companies, or and actually or is it just skill temporal employment that when the construction is finished, that comes the end of the work, of the job, of your employment? So yeah, there are a couple of things, you know, that we're looking at, and you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number again is 0833-66-091. So we'll come back after this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
And that's exactly what we are all about. Eagle FM, we are actually about you, especially Unpacking the Day. We about you. All right, I'm gonna steal a line there. All right, so good morning to you and welcome. Our time is about 45 minutes past the hour of eight. Ooh, I want to get out of here maybe, or what is going on? So 45 minutes past the hour of eight, and you're most welcome to come through and contribute to our first item on the show. All right. So while you are doing that, there is a story, and unfortunately, this story probably will make its way on. This story will probably appear on Monday's edition. Didn't make it through the newspaper this morning. So when I look at the newspaper, this story is not in. But it's a very important story, okay? And this has to do with the summit that has actually gone, you know, that was taking place in Windhoek. So we hear about this, you know, this massive green hydrogen project, billion of dollars, green future for Namibia, and the word localization is thrown around like a confetti at the wedding. So it makes us feel good, isn't it? It makes us feel included. So Namibian jobs, business, Namibian prosperity. Yeah, so now, but you know how, I mean, you know how we do it here on Unpacking the Day. So we don't just read the invitation. So we ask who is paying for the wedding, who is on the guest list, and most importantly, who is going to be cleaning up afterwards. So that's what we do. So now let's look at this. Let's look at this at this story. It's a story that, as I said, our journalists actually covered. And so there was a panel discussion at the Global African Hydrogen Summit in Windhoek that took place in Windhoek. So in that panel, you had the big players in the room. Okay, so we have the big players in the room. We have the company Hyphen Hydrogen Energy. We have the mayor of Walvis Bay. We have a researcher from the IPPR, and a lawyer from the Legal Assistance Center. You see, you have really big guns in that panel. So, and everyone is nodding. It's nodding and agreeing. Yes, localization is key. Localization is key. Yeah? All right.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Yeah, maybe before you go to the panel discussion.
Yeah.
We can digest on the one that you just said.
You're welcome.
So yes, there can be partnership there.
Yeah.
In those areas, and it's only partnership that will work anyway.
Yeah.
On my own side, because if we are to learn and benchmark with those people like the Japanese, the Chinese, at least those who have grown.
Yeah.
Their industries, and they are creating wealth. I just believe it's a good step.
Yeah. No, definitely. The other thing, maybe where you need also to comment, is that shouldn't be a really like a law that makes sure that when you come, you know, in 5 years, just to give an example, in 5 years, there must be a number of these high skills that you have trained. There must be a number of this, the skill that has been transferred is this much. Shouldn't be that really maybe make much more a difference than when you leave it up to, let's say, for example, for them just to do that if they can and not when they don't?
Yeah, there are policy directives when it comes to understudy. So many of those institutions, the universities and the institutions, they have that, those policy directions.
Yeah.
So the only problem perhaps is that you find some institution do not have perhaps the that policies or an act or whatever is good thing, but there are under policy study. If you go to the University of Namibia, for example, and I believe others also have the same, so there is always, when you get an expatriate, for example, in any other field, so you also have those who should be learning.
Yeah.
And the skill of transfer is acquiring that process. So, like, for example, we had, because there are always this technical bilateral agreement when people are signing those things. And I know I was been following some of those, especially the last time when the former president, Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, went to those Chinese and things like that. They were even mentioning about billions of dollars, which were actually in this what is it, water development project and all those areas that were signed.
Yeah.
So the skill transfer, if you now go there and you want to set up a factory, maybe to create Pella Sanel, something that we were talking with David Chombe here. So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Even ourselves here, we can as well make sure that in our institutions, private ones and the government ones, they are now transformed into a way where they can really teach people to create panel, solar panel. And not only install them, installing them is also part of it, because if you want to electrify our rural area, say, and then we still have to wait for people to be trained how to create them. Those who are creating and those who are installing, let them work in hand in hand so that we can make progress. But at least the progress that is being made,
yeah,
it's just that if we don't scrutinize
Now, in your assessment, okay, in your assessment, Agumbwana, okay, now, industrialization was the core, was the mission of Vision 20, of our plan of Vision 2030. In your assessment, where it's only about 4 years or 5 years now to go, so where do you think we are in terms of where we should have been? And and in terms of now, when we talking about this kind of agreement and things like that, so how have, if we haven't get there, what were the challenges? Do we know those challenges?
Yeah, I think they have been identified. There are also skill gaps. Even this morning, people were talking about the. David had a meeting with the professor from UNAM in terms of skill audit and all this other thing. So, but we are moving forward, and I'm sure if you look at those projects and the timeline attached to them, so you can see that we are moving in the same in a good direction. There are a lot of the room for improvement. That's why there are a lot of alignment being done and issues of that nature. So, but if you now put a target of 5 years, you might not do the assessment, the monitoring and evaluation properly. You just start from now. As we assess, like I said, we had those things that they are big projects that are moving. So if you compare it, look at our historically perspective from where we came from up to now. You can see you can even yourself, if you look at I have a lot of Namibia Statistics Agency, those files and those documents, I have them. So, but there we are making progress.
Of course, where we are not moving,
where we are stagnant. So let's now identify those things and pinpoint them out so that we can remove those barriers.
Yeah.
So now, for example, this one of the millions, but I'm hearing this access to funding the young ones are getting. Yeah. And nothing has been there. I always visit this Development Bank of Namibia. They will tell you where are the absence. You get the absence funding document. You get this other one, all these areas. Mm. So, and if the people can have access to those fundings, and especially the one that's being spoken now, currently. So don't you think that progress will be made?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, okay. Yeah, no, they are. I mean, they are definitely progress, of course. I mean, the main thing is this, and even if within our politicians as well, what they say is that how do we translate, you know, this investment in our country, which is actually Namibia is an attractive when it comes to investment. How do we then translate that to actually close the gap between the haves and have not? And I think that's a challenge for not only the government, for every one of us to kind of look at how do we really close that gap. I think that's the most challenge.
We can get that money and we think about food security. Just talk about gardening. Agriculture is here. You can integrate those areas to crop production, animals, husbandry, and all this. Agriculture. You know, there are people who have got fish ponds here or whatever. Closer to where you came from. We were mentioning about Angambia and all these things.
Mm.
So that person is harvesting fish all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are not even in the market. People are in the line. So if we can all popularize those things, don't you think that we are not going to... obviously, we income-generating activities. That's what I'm talking about. We have done so many, many, many of those ones in the Ministry of Gender. If you go there and you have some... do some assessment and just even call the spokesperson, they will tell you all these things. The people are even manufacturing belts. Shoes. So the Britongo that you were talking about is a good thing. They have actually, Habatua. What is it, Habatua? We have got more animals here, our livestock here than in the urban area, in the south.
Yeah, no, there are more animals on this side.
So if we can mobilize and convince our people to sell some of them and kill some of those ones before the drought comes, but I know the rain is now already is about to drop. So let's convince them so that we can make Britongos and the best.
All right, man.
Okay.
Great. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Welcome, sir.
All right. Our telephone number is 0833-0833-66091. 0833-66091. All right. So we were looking at, and you're most welcome to come through on the first item that we're looking at. But we're also looking at the panel discussion that took place at the Global African Hydrogen Summit, which is held actually in Windhoek. So now I was talking about a big player in the room, the company Hyphen Hydrogen Energy, the mayor of Wavish Bay. Researchers from the IPPR, a lawyer from the Legal Assistance Center. So, as I said, this is where now talking about localization, okay? And of course, everybody, as I said, everybody was knocking. I wasn't there. I'm just imagining. Everybody was nodding their head and agreeing. Yes, localization is key, okay? It's a key. Yeah, okay? But here's my first question for you, okay? Now, listening wherever you're listening from, whether you're listening from Katutura, in Swakopmund, in Ongwediva, my hometown, in Ondangwa, where I am, in Rundu, in Katima. So, now, when you hear the word localization, what does it actually mean to you? So, when you just hear that, what does it mean to you? Okay, I'm going to throw a few things so that we can analyze this. Now, when you hear localization, does it mean your cousin or your sister or whoever? Does it mean your cousin get a job as a security guard? So when we're talking about localization now, does it mean your cousin get a job as a security guard on the side? Or does it mean local catering? Maybe a local catering company gets the contract to feed the workers? Or does it mean, or does it mean that maybe I have a real, you know, does it mean Namibians have a real meaning ownership stake in this now $1 million industry? Does it just mean that you get a catering company, get a contract, coffee workers or security, get a job? Or does it mean Namibians have a real meaningful ownership stake in this, you know, multi-billion-dollar industry? Now, because from what I am reading between the lines here, you know, everyone has a very different definitions, and that's where the danger lies. All right. Now let's look at, let's start with the company with Hyphen. Okay. The main driver of this massive project in the South, they are the main driver of this massive project in the South. So, and they had their representative there in the meeting. So he laid out a beautiful plan. So he talked about socioeconomic development framework. Big words, you know, socioeconomic development framework. So basically a plan to help the communities. He mentioned a stakeholder engagement strategy, you know, to bring everyone along the ride, you know. So along for the ride, okay? Not along the ride. So to bring everyone along for the ride, you know. So, and they even have a system where you can file a complaint if you have a problem. So it all sounds very professional, very organized. It ticks all the boxes for their international investor in Europe. So who want to see that everything is being done properly, all right? Now, but let's pause there a little bit. So a framework is a document. A strategy is a plan. A complaint box, well, it's a box, okay? So what is missing? What is missing? This is what our Deputy Prime Minister, you know, talked about. Action. Proof. Action. Okay? We want to see action. So this is where, and this is now where the other panelists started raising some serious red flags. Okay? So action is what is missing. So now, the mayor of Walvis Bay, a man who is supposed to be one of the most important local leaders, basically said local authorities are being ignored. Think about that. So he said they are the closest government to the people. They know the daily struggle, yet they are not being shown the respect they deserve. So, well, he hit on the nerve. As people said, hit on the nerve that every Namibian feel deep in their bones. So he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Namibia is rich in policies but poor in implementation. That's not new. How many times have we heard that? We have beautiful document, world-class plan, sitting on the shelf, and most of the time sitting on the shelf in Windhoek. Gathering dust. Is there dust in winter? Oh, yeah. Gathering dust while on the ground. So nothing changes. All right? So that's what he's referring to. So it paints a picture of big deal being made in a fancy conference room, while the local leaders will have to deal with the real world consequences, like housing shortages, water demand, social issues, suicide issues, are left knocking on the door, trying to be, you know, to be heard. So watch out this story for probably Monday edition. I didn't make it through this morning, but it's a story that I looked at also. So now, so here's the question, really, to maybe to provoke some thought. Okay, remember, it's to provoke some thought. So is this stakeholders' engagement that Hyphen talks about a, let me put it, a genuine partnership, or is it a one-way street where they simply inform people that they simply inform people what they are going to do, rather than ask them what they need and want? So when we're talking about partnership, it's really about asking them, what do you need and what do you want? So you have a story of that, of what happened in and what Mantume also said something. So there are even, you will surprise what the lawyer now from the Legal Assistance Center mentioned. Maybe let me put that in perspective when we come, what I wanted to say now in person. Now, and there is that, maybe let me just say it here. Now, this is where now it gets a really, 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 really serious. So this is a part of the article that shows that should make everyone, you know, that should make everyone sit up and pay attention. So now the representative from the Legal Assistance Center, Chloe Brandt, you know, dropped a very, very big surprise. Oh, maybe it's not a surprise. Well, it's a surprise. Now she said the real stakeholders, the community themselves, are not even in the room of this discussion. So you remember when we were talking of financial inclusion, and I asked my colleague Hende, so are they, you know, because we are talking about the marginalized to have access to, you know, to the financial services and products. So are they representatives, you know, from the marginalized? But you have all these top guns coming from, you know, from different institutions, financial institutions, talking about how, you know, how they would provide service to marginalized, but the marginalized are not in, are not on the table. All right. Now, this is what she said. She said the real stakeholders, the community themselves, are not even in the room for this discussion. Okay, I can just give a scenario, okay? And this is my own scenario. So a company wants to build a massive industrial plant, okay? They want to build a massive industrial plant next to your village, okay? A place where your family has grazed cattle for generations. They call a public consultation. Then they call this company now called a public consultation. They hold it at 10 a.m., on Tuesday in the nearest big town. So 100 kilometers away. Okay? Now, the presentation is in English, full of technical terms. And at the end, they ask if there's any question. Is there any question? Now, people are confused, maybe a little intimidated because, you know, they didn't understand anything because there were a lot of technical terms. Now, the people that come to do the presentation, they tick a box that say consultation held. And that's it. You know? That's it. So consultation has been held. Is that fair? Is that real consultation? So I'm just actually confirming. I'm just looking at what Chloe have just said that, well, the stakeholders are not even, you know, not even in those conversations. So, because if someone does that, do you feel it has taken place? And this is what happened most of the times. People come all the way from Windhoek. They do the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation. It's in English. And then, you know, any questions? So most of those are technical things that, you know, and they don't understand. You know, when you don't understand, you won't even have a question because you don't know what's the direction, what is basically being spoken about. So you won't have actually a question or a question to ask. Only a few people that are more maybe learned, one or two that are in the village. All right? So now my question is that fair? Is that a real consultation? Because many of them take this nature. Now, the lawyer from the LAC says, no, that's not a consultation. And here is the very crucial point she made. So there is currently, and this is very important, there is currently no law in Namibia that forces this company to get a prior informed consent from the people. That's what she said. There is no law in Namibia that forces actually this company to get a prior informed consent from the people. So let me repeat that. There is no legal requirement to get your permission. They have to consult, but that can mean anything. Like what I just give you an example, they come, we do presentation, any questions, you know, it means they don't have to listen. It means they can ignore the community's concern and still go ahead. So now, the whole idea is that from this discussion is that without that legal hammer, if I can make that imagery as well, without that hammer, order in the house, okay? Without that hammer, all these promises of bringing people along are just that promise. They have no teeth. We need that legal hammer. If you are not compliant, this is the law. Boom. You lose your license or whatever the case may be, or these are the penalties. So from her point of view, this is the gap in our laws. We have seen it with mining. We have seen it with fishing. No? We give away our natural resources and the benefit don't always trickle down to the person on the street. Then this is exactly what our deputy prime minister was talking on this summit. So that we need to see action. We need to see this benefit trickling down to the very person on the street. Now, are we about to let history repeat itself with green hydrogen, or for our sun, you know, our rich sun and wind? So that's the question. So, and then you remember there was another person in there who was actually a researcher from the IPPR. So with the question now, so what is the way forward? So, it's not all gloom. It's not all doom and gloom. How do they say? Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. So the researcher from the IPPR, Martha Nangolo, offered a very practical idea. So Miss Nangolo, she suggested that the green hydrogen sector should adopt the same transparency rules that are actually being used in the oil and gas industry. Well, something called the Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative, EITI. So she's suggesting that the green hydrogen as well should adopt the same transparency rules that are being also used in the oil and gas industry. So it's in simple English, this is a system, okay? This is a system that forces companies to publicly declare how much money they are making. They publicly declare how much money they are making from our resources. They publicly actually put it out there. And how much are they paying to the government in taxes and fees? So we see how much they are making and how much are they contributing to the government in taxes and, 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 and other fees, royalties and all that. So this whole idea is about putting everything on the table so we can all see. Eh? So we can all see it. No more secrets. And the whole thing is that you want to build trust with the public. And she said this is a game changer. So that's how she put it. This is a game changer. Well, I mean, when we think about it, the question is, if it's good enough for the oil and gas, why isn't already a standard requirement for green hydrogen? Why? What are we waiting for? Why are we waiting? If it's good enough for oil and gas, of course, that should be a standard requirement. Well, as I said, well, probably the article would probably be in Monday's edition. Actually leaves me with even more questions. Who is local? Now, when are we talking about local localization? Remember, we're talking about localization. So I'm asking this question. You probably think, Mike, why are you asking? Locals are local. Who is local? Now, I'm thinking something. Now, so when we're talking now about local, because local could be anybody, all right? But when they say they will hire local companies, so now we're talking about hyphen in the south, okay? So at Ludwig's side. So when they say they will hire local companies, are they talking about a small panel beta in Ludwig's? Eh? Are they talking about the small panel beta in Ludwig's or a well-connected Windhoek-based company owned by the same old elites? So because they could actually get somebody from Windhoek because they just well-connected to those same old elites. So that's why we need a clear, clear watertight definition. That's how now our local entrepreneurs actually benefit. That's how they have to benefit. It is exactly the same. So say, for example, and this is about, I'm talking in terms of in our town, okay, in Ongwediva. So much of for the trade fairs, first of all, for any services, okay, any services that need to be provided, well, I can say that for sure, but you know, it could, but how then a person eventually decides, that's also, but what is in the law is that, first of all, you actually look at the service that are available in, you know, whatever. That's the practice. It's looking at, do we have those services available in Ongwediva? If they're available, then we take the one in Ongwediva. So if it's not available, it's then when we resource from outside. I'm talking now in terms of trade fair, you know, town council and how they deal with it. I know the experience. I have worked with them. All right. So now this is what I'm referring to. Who is the local? Okay. In this case, local, would it be the whole Namibia? And then some well-connected Windhoek-based company would be actually chosen instead of the company in Ludwig's. So that's why I said this needs to be clear. Watertight definition. What local could be many, many things. Could be the whole of Namibia. Eh? So, and of course, we talked about the kind of jobs. Are we training Namibians to be engineers, to be project managers, to be executives in this new industry? Because we have to take on sometimes. Are we training them in those, you know, executives? Or are we just, creating thousands of temporary construction and cleaning jobs? So localization must mean empowering and skill transfer at the highest level. Eh? So I said, well, the other question probably, it's about our resources. So this project will use enormous amount of land, covering quite a lot of land, and desalinated water. Now, who owns that land now? Who owns the land? So what is the environment? Mandume was here earlier on talking about environment assessment and all that. What is the environment impact? Are we trading one problem for another? Because you could be, you know, if there wasn't an environment assessment for a company, and you're talking about people who have been affected, being in this mining and all that, become affected by, you know, yeah. So this is what we're asking. That's what I'm asking. Are we trading one problem for another? So we may be solving the whole issues of unemployment, but then you then generate a problem of health risk. So that or are also things that we really should be, you know. So, well, sometimes you have to think this is not just about the money. I think as a country, as Namibian, and as I think our leaders as well, it's not just about money. It's about our future, our land, our water, our sovereignty. So, yeah. So quickly, just to probably just maybe to sum up what we talk about on this article, on this item. So there is a big difference between corporate promises and the reality on the ground. So that we see that from, you know, the people who went in the room. There are those who feel that, yes, there are these corporate promises, but it hasn't trickled yet, you know. We are not touching it. We're not smelling it. We're not feeling it. Eh? And remember, on the same occasion, that's what actually the Deputy Prime Minister said. We need to feel it. Eh? We want to smell it. We want to see it. So the beautiful plans for localization don't yet match the frustration of local leaders who feel left out. Because there are, as I said, the mayor said, we are the one who are close to the people, but we are. Sometimes we're not in the room. So, yeah. And the biggest red flag is the legal loophole the lawyer from Legal Assistance Center. So without a law that mandate prior and informed consent, public consultant can be just a box-ticking exercise. This need to change, and need to change urgently. What was the other thing is then we need to demand specifics. Vague promises are not enough. All right? So we are now at the stage where, okay, we are learned enough now to demand the specifics. We need clear definition, for example, of local, concrete plan for skill transfer, you know, to say in by 2028, we will have, you know, we will have actually this number of engineers, this number of, you know, management executives, you know, specifics. So that we can be able to assess. When we just, we will do this, and we don't have those specifics. So even if we have two people, and we needed to have actually 10, that tells us that has failed. Specifics, concrete plans for skill transfer, for total transparency. Like the EITI that was referred to as the model suggested. And what we need to know also, really, as Namibian, this is a once in a generation opportunity for Namibia. Seriously, green hydrogen could change our country forever. But we have to get it right from the very start. We, the people, need to be vigilant. You gotta be vigilant. So we need to ask, really, we need to ask the tough questions and demand a real answers. All right? So we're not being difficult. We're just being one to say, we have seen this song sung many times, but now this time we want to sing it with confidence that there is something coming out of this. So it to make sure that, you know, this conversation is just the beginning. Let's not wake up in 20 years and ask, hey, what happened to all that money? Eh? What happened to the money? Eh? What happened to all those promises? We sit up today and then asking the same thing. Do you understand? What happened to these promises in this NDP 1 and NDP 3, NDP 4, NDP 5? What happened to the, you know, Harambee prosperity? So that's we keep asking. We don't want now our children later in 20 years asking, what happened to all those investment? And we still can't see anything. Eh? What happened all to the promises? I think the time to secure our future is now, really. It is now. And it requires your involvement. By participating and involving and getting engaging in this conversation. So, I'll open up my line now. You can come through and, and have your contribution. So what do you think? What do you say? 08333 66091. 08333 66091.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe kupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hitatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, Eagle FM, and welcome to the eye. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 29 minutes and 20 second in counting, 29 minutes past 9. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And we were just looking at the story based actually on the summit, on the Global African Hydrogen Summit that held actually in Windhoek. And there was a panel, you know, in one of the room, discussing, in that room, there were Hyphen Hydrogen Energy, there were mayor of Wavish Bay, there were researchers from the IPPR, there were also a lawyer from the legal assistance centers. So, and, well, they were talking about localization. Okay. So, and one thing that actually came out so strong is that, the mayor, for example. So, well, you know that the companies, if we start the companies, they talk about, you know, what they are going to do. Of course, this is what we expect from corporate, you know, basically plan to help the communities, mentioned stakeholder engagement strategy to bring everyone along for the ride, you know, be part of that. And I given an example to say, look, you could have actually a company that one put up a massive factory, for example, and they come do they do the presentation. You invite a number of people, community to come. You do the presentation, and the presentation is full of technical words, and it's done in English. Well, for them, they can tick off that. That is a consultation. So is that, you know, is that a consultation? All right? So that's the issue sometimes. And sometimes that's what happened. So, but then we have, like, the mayor who also, you know, in that part of that panel, who actually saying, look, me as the mayor, I'm the one who closest government to the people. I'm the one who is very closest to the people. Yeah? And they know the daily, and I know the daily struggle of the people. And I'm not being shown the respect I deserve, you know? So, yeah. So he said that Namibia is, and he said what he mentioned, what maybe what we can take out of it, which is something that we know. Namibia is rich. And this is coming from a politician as well. So Namibia is rich in policies, but poor in implementation. I think that we all agree. I think what it means is that we need to have teeth. Yeah? We need to have our laws, our document need to have teeth. That's what's basically saying. So, and sometimes some of these policies, some of these world class, you know, plans are sitting. I prefer to say they're sitting in Windhoek, because that's where central government is, sitting in Windhoek. Well, there's not enough dust, you know. I wouldn't say they are collecting dust.
Egan FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Sir Mike. Sorry, man.
It's Friday. It's
NTC.
A new
yeah? It was NTC.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, just imagine I'm finishing off our super minute.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's why I said, well, that could be a super away God finish.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's a part of the financial.
I think
inclusion.
I can come to the new topic.
Sure. Yeah, that's your yeah. Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it the way the governor he put it and the lawyer from what?
From LCA, from Legal Assistance Center. Yeah.
It's a hard time because remember one thing that always when they're always doing their dealing. Yeah. Either in the what, and then you see only the board member are there. Sometimes I go to the lodge, then only couplet and what? Those higher ranking official. Then you see the business people also there. It's the same thing also when they are taking people of Gama, what? Business opportunity when they are going abroad.
Yeah.
They don't go to people or to people. People have been recycling every day. They are the one who have been taken to go and see other side, to connect to the other side of the business. But you see some of them, even they become absolutely not active.
Mm.
Yeah. But just imagine, you take a young people, like now they are giving them what, funds. You take them to either like Kenya here or Tanzania.
Yeah.
You're exploiting them because now they're able to engage with their counterpart from Tanzania and then they're able to come up with a good idea. I mean, either supplying something there or that one's from Tanzania supplying something for Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, I think that the representative for the people is needed. You can't just every time you're negotiating in our resource,
This is a very... Look at how this is done, okay? Now, I give an example of that. When it, the consultation that they're going through, you know?
Yeah.
You come, there are level, when you talk about project management, there are different phases that you, you know, there is a level where now you do consultations, you know, with the community that you are, where you're going to do actually the project. Now, how do you do that? Now, much of what we see, people comes already with a concept done. And with this is what is going to happen. So, like now, you come, there is this, upstream, petroleum, consultation that is going on. And I think it was in Amsati yesterday or day before yesterday. I can't remember. Where are they today? Could be there in Oshana. I must be missing out.
I think they're going around the,
I might be missing out. I must be missing out, really. I need to find out. It looked like they're in Oshana today, if I'm not mistaken. So now, so, the consultation, much of this, when they come, these are people who are technical, comes to the village, maybe see the Homba or the chief or the kings or whatever, and then the people are called to come. So what do they come? They present, we are going to, you know, to build the factory here. And the presentation is really technical. It's in English. Of course, you have someone maybe translating. So, but then, people, they, you present to them what is going to happen. It was not like the initial where we talk about, there is this idea. What do you think about this?
What do you
we
think
are planning
exactly?
that this is what we want to do. Do you think that's a good idea? Should we start something like this for you?
Or what do you think?
And normally people don't take, the reason why sometimes people become white elephant in those communities is because they were not, even they think they were consulted, but they were just presented to. You know, that's not a consultation. And in that process, they don't own. They don't own whatever project. They just think this is a project of the government. And sometimes even vandalize the facilities.
The facilities,
So
you know why you know why it's happening? It's happening because you never give people, to have any input in whatever you are proposing.
Yeah.
Is that always when you come, you present them, you lecture them. Not like they have to add something. You tell them what is going to happen. Not like, and that is a problem. And it's what I think why our policy is sometimes also failing, because you never ask the people who are going to be affected. You just jump in that day. We are going to do A, B, C, D. It's like a take it or leave it. If even you don't like that idea, you have to go ahead. And it's what most people, they don't like anymore, even to attend public meeting, because you never have anything. They come there and they talk about what. They even, you remember that sometimes why even people give up to go to independence celebration or whatever, these events. It's because they are just talking things which have been happening in 1960. Sometimes, what does it contribute to the what? A person who was born in 2000. We are talking about life now. Things which are happening in calendar time, but we are still talking about how we die for this country.
The consultation, I think the lawyer, where you say stakeholder, are not even in the room. I think it's a very, sometime the whole thing, it's like they are in the room, but the approach, the model that is being used, it's not actually a consultation. I used to work for Family Health, Society for Family Health. And I was responsible for Sabah Ward. There are money comes in and it goes now to other institutions that are implementing. And and much of the time, so this is what now the project, let's say for an American project, they are the one who funding and they want to fund the specific things. So they are the one who determine, not even us. There was even this story of, you know, people used to travel a long distance in a village now to go and fetch water somewhere. Okay?
Yeah.
And then this company now, I mean, these donors now decided, oh, the people are traveling such a long distance to go and fetch waters. No, we need to bring water close to the people.
Water close to them, yeah.
So, all right. So the people were not consulted. So they said, well, it's a good thing if the water is very close. And that would be a good thing for them. So they bring the water close. Now, the people were not happy. But now they find it, what is wrong that the people, we bring the water close to them.
We bring the water to them.
And they are not happy. So now, the problem is that the reason why the water was far away, you know, this is was now the time the parents can get a time actually to do something.
You know, where the kids are far from me.
Where the kids now are far
from home.
You know,
exactly.
So now they are gone. We have enough time. We know how long it's gonna take for them to come back.
Yeah, for them to come back.
Yeah, that's the time now we do procreation. So
that, you know,
because
this, you are saying, what you are saying is true, and this is what has happened to the Sun people in Enana.
Yeah.
You see, they build housing without even asking them what we can do for you guys.
Yeah.
Instead of you, because you are just sleeping every time you are moving up and down.
Mm.
And now, you know what? After they build, and they, you know, these people, they're having their culture. Once the older person died there, they don't stay. Yeah. They have to move.
They have to move.
And now we didn't consult those people. Now that's what happened. Now the beautiful house are just there.
Yeah, so they because they have to move, so now you have your beautiful house.
Exactly.
Empty.
And now what I'm telling you. And this is what is happening all over.
Yeah.
All over the our consultant is not happening because, I mean, they only consult, I mean, they only come to lecture. They don't come say what do you have any idea maybe to add? Because whatever they just talk. And then you say, had the meeting so done.
Yeah. And I can tell you, there was, and we worked this environment, I can tell you, there was millions and millions of dollars went into income generating, especially when HIV and all that was more prominent. And there were much money into those areas. Now, I tell you, if we count now, it's billion and billion of amount of money went into that. Can you show me one income generation project that has grown, you know, to something that actually emanates to something that is more a business now that is actually functioning. Yeah. And there were a lot of money.
Yeah. Seriously. And I wish to see even when they were, I think they used even to have a bike or something where they are giving people medicine all over their car. House to house.
But those are little things, you know. We talk about the money that goes into certain projects, you know, to create really income in a larger scale. But for today, you don't even see it. There's nothing, absolutely. Once the money, you know, fade, once the money finish, it didn't grow to become a productive, a sustainable income generating project. Yeah. And this is the problem that we have. You know, sometimes say for example, and this is not criticism, it's just to think. Now, let's say for example, we pump this money for the youth. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we give them and all that, you know, and at the end of, let's say for example, from four, two, 3 years from now, are we be able to see now this youth prospering? Prosper? Do we see that this youth even employing now others, their business? No, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, so have we done enough assessment and to know that this is the way to go?
Not really. You remember the other time when I told you that, you know, sometimes, you can give a youth money, but without you to mentorship of this person or training, it's a waste of time and the resource.
Yeah.
Because you may have 2 or 5 men from that who have become successful, but the majority, my friend, it's a wasted money.
Yeah.
Because remember one thing, that once you are in Namibia, you give a person that kind of money, let them say 18 years. What is an 18 years old know much about life? He just listened from the school, and now you are giving him 200,000. In a poverty country like ours, how many of them are able to use that money wisely? Instead of not learning to Indongo Toyota.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, this is supposed to be a mentorship program, first of all. Then once you see the people who are, yes, they are now capable and able to do it,
yeah,
let us give them funds.
What I was thinking myself is that I would have done it this way, you know, where I identify a demand in a certain region, you know, and even the market, and then create that. Let's say, for example, even if that project, because that project is not just managed by one, that I have a company that I'm running. You know, but then this project would also then include, you know, the supply chain, which of the youth, in that region. You understand? And we do the same thing. We can do that in two or three, because with that amount of money is not too much. You know, we can do that in two or three. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we actually have taken up quite a number of youth to work in that project.
And that's exactly.
And then you have then your supply chain, you know, you know, that of youth contributing to that whatever project that could be. So because when you leave it to individual, the likelihood of this individual success, look at much of the, you know, we can say yes because of the funds and whatever. That's why, you know, youth haven't, you know, the entrepreneurship hasn't grown. Yes. I mean, but do we have a track record that shows company that have grown that were just entrepreneurs?
Who have been? Yeah. Who have even given a grant?
Now I'm even
some
talking,
of them even die out already long time.
Yeah, I'm talking now people who have access to money who haven't been translated to become a business. They're still actually, you know, operating on that level. And what are the challenges? So that keep us in that. How many Namibians that actually just grow? I'm talking of the Opa Indongos who started small and then later grow into a major millionaire company. How many can you now, since not only maybe since independence, but, you know, how many other companies you can look at? So, and why? Why is that the case?
You see, the thing is, sometimes I think also the exposure which I'm talking about, you give people a fund or you give them a tender. Let me say now, if you are Namibian, who been winning tender maybe for five times, with $1 million back in your head, but you still, not yet somewhere, it's meaning that is you are really, really useless. Because I'm telling you.
not really useless.
I'll put it that way, because there are some people, my friend. I'm telling you, this person is having a tender in Ondangwa, Ongwediva, you name it, or Angwena Day, you go to Oshkoto, you go away. But this person is not even employing more than 10 people.
Yeah.
And he's still getting tenders. And now, remember one thing, that when you look at our sad country, thing which is needed, thing which we have in Namibia is needed in Angola. Thing which is in Angola is needed in Namibia. Thing which is in Zimbabwe is needed in Namibia. It's just like that. There's opportunity. When you are given that chance, you're supposed to use it seriously.
Mm.
When you are talking about even open Dongo now, it's not about only to concentrate in Namibia. It's supposed to be all over SADC, even in Angola, it's supposed to be already having a garage.
Yeah.
In Botswana, everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know why I'm always against that? You know, this Leseho from Botswana is supposed to be a Namibian product. but our people are not thinking of, even now, when you are talking about NAMPOS, NAMPOS is supposed to having a sector where they are doing it, even like housing, allowance, I mean, for special government people. So we can make it grow. When NAMPOS must not just concentrate in Namibia only.
Mm.
Expand it to other countries. I'm telling you, it's where you build welfare. But we get a chance, but you are just in Namibia doing the whole business in Namibia, and you die in Namibia.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be that way. That's why I'm saying, no, you can't keep it recycling the people from 90 up to now. You are still traveling with the president.
Yeah.
Why don't take other people? You don't give other people a chance. We have a lot of youth here who are doing well. You have even this guy who are organizing many events. Did you see him even president doing, saying something like, let me give you opportunity to do something? We have a potential youth, but they are not given a chance. We keep recycling the idiot we've been using for a long time.
We have to give credit also to her, because she really transformed.
For her, she did a lot. And now, for me, enough talking.
Yeah.
Let us start implementing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's what maybe I can say. No, she's been talking so, and the talking doesn't help. Now it's a time for action also, from her side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but seriously speaking, Michael, let me congratulate the Minister of Health for cutting the middleman. That's the only way to go.
Yeah.
And also, I think when we check in the Namibian today, they are saving even some ministers, also they're going to do the same. But this is the only way, seriously, because we can't keep these people for how long?
If
they never grow, they're never going to grow again.
But if you knew that by cutting this, I will save money, and that money I can invest in something better, why wouldn't you do it?
Do it, yeah.
Why would it take
who's holding your hands?
Yeah. Why would it take this, you know, this administration to figure that out?
And we've been doing that for more than...
And these are some of the questions when you started now asking, why were they taking now for this administration to figure that out? It's a very straightforward things that you think to say, look, I think those are some... We get into a system, we found it that way, and we want it to run in the same way over and over, and it doesn't bring any change. So sometimes you have to be completely, completely radical to be able to bring change. Yeah?
Because let the people hit you because you bring a change.
Exactly.
Which I think the majority are going to celebrate with you the achievement, even though the close friend of yours, they are going to hit you forever.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you like the majority like you, that's the only way.
It's not about a lot of people,
they've been buying face for so long. For 35 years, they are buying face.
It's not even about liking. It's actually doing what needs to be done.
Done, exactly.
Yeah. So if you are doing what you need to be done, it's not even that people like you, but they would support you.
They will support you.
Yeah.
And that's how you build the legacy. Mm. Now we are talking about the legacy, and then you say, no, what did he done? No, this policy was what? No, unless, like now you are saving 220 million. That's a lot of money, which is supposed to go three people individually.
Yeah.
And anyway, we want the transparency when it comes to, because they said they'll find what? 40 beneficiaries.
Mm.
We want those names to be in the newspapers, please. And the way they come from their region and their... As long as the name are there, and then we identify that they are not only close to the politician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Transparency must take place in that benefiting of what the youth fund. That's what we want to find out.
All right.
But anyway, Mike, thank you for opportunity, and have a good weekend, my friend.
Yeah, same to you, man. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm.
Very good morning to you. We still have about 5 minutes, you know, if you want to come through. And we're lazy moving. We're going lazy too, you know. Well, come back. We want to come through and have say what you have to say.
Very good morning.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia. Como está?
Bom, obrigado. E tu ali? Problemas, não?
Não tem problema.
Tá bom. Problema... If you talk to me, somebody.
Yeah. Are you there? I can't hear you anymore.
Yeah, I'm here.
I can hear you. Okay. Yeah.
I'm saying even if you also talk for too long in the line, also corruption.
Yeah. You see. Yeah. No, it has been quiet. I think I'm the one I need to be blamed. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Mike, I want you for go past the figure. You know this the list of the mass housing.
The list of mass housing.
Yeah, just find out to say like. The beneficiaries who have been they are those the first names, because I feel like some of the names they might lose on the papers, and they are so now some they don't have job now, they have lost their job, some they died and some so, but their kids are there, you know, who to blame here? The system, because the system takes too long to give those people houses. Now please, what we want, we just want like those names, the first beneficiaries. Those names should also come out. Because now, if you don't fight for them now, when they're going to have a decent house? If they're already getting
old. But if they die, why would we still put them on the list?
No, the kids are there. But, and those kids grow in poverty because of this system.
Yeah, no, I understand. So you're kind of like giving them another kind of investigative to say, well, are the kids are working to be able to be given... You know, because it's if it was something that was given, would have given for free, yeah, then one understand. But if it's involved that you have to pay for the place, the home, and then definitely if somebody died, you kind of think, okay, would you look at that individual or you look at that as a family?
But when you think about patriotic Namibians, you already named these people to be a benefit of this system, and they've been delayed because of you. Now, there's something to support them, because these kids, they never attend a better school because of this noise we have in their locations. And they never get a good, let me say, because of education, because they know that in location is too much because of this system which they've been put behind. So now,
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand your point. I understand what you're saying. It's just that I think when you apply as an individual, and then you are identified as an individual, and not that because now you are dead. Now you know we that goes now to your children or something like that. I think that's where the problem comes. Yeah, maybe it's what you're asking is to say. Why can't that then be a possibility of that opportunity to be given to the children? Yeah.
No. I'm not saying like that dying. Eh? I'm saying you are dead in the system of getting capital. You know, because you're already 60 years old.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You don't have men to pay the house.
Oh, okay. Now, that could be
I'm
awesome.
Not saying like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like dying, but I'm saying like, you know, in the system of making money, you're not there anymore. You just get your pension or whatever, but your kids are. Maybe they are doing some, you know, give this family this opportunity. Because now, 10 years if you go backward, 10 years, those houses, maybe they were maybe 150 or maybe 200,000 or maybe 80 somewhere there. But now they want to, those days they totally went very, very far from there, you know. Now, and their name still is, so what we want now is Mr. Those names, so those are the first beneficiaries from the Kuyangava, then Havana and whatever. So we say the name must come out, because now what we see, names are like colliding with these new people who are applying for houses. Obviously, you're qualified because they have a better salary. Yeah. What about those who are the first beneficiaries? They are trying for us out to say what they will do there. And we want to see those names also on the papers.
Okay. Let's see what's going to come out. Let's, if we find time to see if we can get something from them. Yeah.
Thank you, my brother. Because if you do that, people they would, one day they vote for you to be a president.
No, I'm not doing to become a president.
We follow even though you don't want, we follow you.
You know that there's just certain things you are paid to do, so you got to do it. You know.
yeah. But some of the things you do, you know, you release your stress, and people you smile for the whole night, for the until morning. You know, when you sleep happy. Wake up happy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yes, yes.
All right, then. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you, likewise.
All right. Good morning. Still morning. It's 10 o'clock. That means we have... I think I'm to blame here. I kept Mandume too long.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. How are you? I think I'm to blame here. Today I'm to blame because I kept Mandume too long. Because I thought there wasn't many people calling in. So
the people when you are asking it's where they're starting to be interesting to comment.
Yeah, so one moment. Just one moment.
Yeah, but now
Let's do that Monday, man. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, great.
Yes, of course.
All right. As I said, I'm actually to blame. I thought people are slow today. We had a bit of a longer chat. So yeah, sorry for that. Okay. Good morning. And that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day this week. Let's do the same. Let's do that again next week, here on Eagle FM from, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So now I'm going to leave you in the hands of, Tate France coming up with, Kutha Mosha. Make sure that you stay tuned. There's another topic that coming up, you know, that it's actually worth staying tuned to. So, for me, have a great weekend until Monday on Unpacking the Day. So, goodbye for now. Bye.